EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. How are you all? I hope you're all having a good week. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. The first of two guests is Andres from Guatemala, and he will be kicking us off tonight with his alien encounter that involved him being shown images of a future war. And then we speak to Martin in Oregon in the US. And he will be sharing his experiences involving beings in his bedroom implanting something into his spine. Andres up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hola, Andres. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, mate. Nice to meet you. Thank you for having me here.
It's nice to meet you, too. And you're calling from Guatemala.
Yeah, that's right. Guatemala, man. A little country in the Central American Isthmus. A beautiful country if you guys want to visit sometime.
Wonderful. Lovely part of the world. Now, you have an encounter to share with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
So I've had two encounters that I would consider to be the most, you know, two encounters that felt really real. But the thing is that I was a kid when this happened. So that's what makes me think, okay, this had to happen. This had to be real. Because when I was a kid, I had no recollection of what a UFO or what an extraterrestrial was. I had no knowledge about it. It was not until I was 13, 14 that I started to get more into this area that I understood what had happened to me. So my experience begins when I'm 4 or 5 and 6 or 7, right? Two separate times. My experience, I have to say, it was with the grace, right? I know it was the grace. First time it happened, I remember during that day, I saw an owl. And I don't know if you've seen or someone else has seen the movie The Third Kind, the one that takes place in Alaska. When they talk about those owls and then they had the UFO encounters, that same thing happened to me. That's how I started to associate what had happened. I first saw an owl during the day, which is kind of weird, right? An owl during the day and not in the, you know, in nature. It was in the city, in a suburban area. So that was kind of weird. So that day I saw an owl, and later at night, I just remember but I woke up and I was freezing cold. I was so disoriented. I was freezing cold, and I was seeing this light right above my head. Then I saw this being, the grays, right? Huge eyes, huge head, no nose. My first thought was to be, you know, scared. But they called me quickly. They told me, they didn't speak, right? They didn't move their mouth, but I knew what they were saying and I could understand. I just know they were speaking to me telepathically, right? That's how you say it, telepathically. I know they were speaking to me that way because I was feeling so nervous when one of them grabbed my hand and told me, be calm, we're not going to hurt you. I remember I was there like for 30 more seconds until they got something into my body, like an injection on my arm. And they said, we'll be back. That's all they said, right? I woke up, thought of it as a dream that I haven't forgotten about, and a dream that makes no sense to me as I have. At that age, nobody knows what an extraterrestrial is or where a UFO is, right? But I just dismissed it. I didn't know what it was. And it happened again 2 years later. Same beings, same method, right? I went to sleep. Before sleeping, I heard an owl. That one was at night, right? That owl, I did hear it at night. Wasn't in the day. So I just went to sleep and woke up. But this time was different, right? This time I was not laying down. This time I was not like trapped, and this time I wasn't afraid. I already knew, I guess I kind of knew who they were, and what they did was different. This time what they did was actually just to walk me around, right? I was with them, I was walking around with them, and they were speaking to me like, how you been, you know, you're really important, stuff like that. Until we came to a screen, right? They said to me, okay, sit down right here and we'll show you something. And then you'll have to choose. And I was like, choose what, you know? Like, what do I need to choose? But they sit me on this thing and they start showing me a scene, right? And it was this sort of fight. I wouldn't say war, but I would say fight between humans. You know, the aliens were on the side of humans. They were like a good, they were good humans and bad humans, and the aliens were with some of the humans, and they did ask me, you know, you're important, right? Where do you want to be? And that freaked me out. I just said, I want to be with humans, right? I want to be with whatever's good. And to this day, I do not know which one was the good side. I do not know if they were fighting with the bad humans or if they were fighting with the good humans. They just showed me a war and they told me, where do you want to be? And I remember I clearly said, I want to be on the good side. And all they did was say, that's okay. You took the right choice. They basically just told me, we will see each other again. And they injected something onto me. And I just woke up again in my room. I didn't think much about it like the first time. It wasn't actually something that scared me when I woke up. Like the first time, I felt much more calm, right? I felt like I had done the right thing, but I didn't know about it. I did not know what had just had happened, right? I didn't know who they were. I didn't have any recollection of what had happened until when I was like 11 or 12 that I started getting more into this. And then when I was 13 or 14, it clicked, man. It just clicked. I remember that was around that time. It was when I saw the movie The Third Kind. And I was like, okay, this kind of reminds me about what happened. Like, you know, the owls, and then the encounters, they were very, very peaceful. Like, if someone has seen the movie, you know, they were not peaceful beings in that movie. But at least in my case, they were. They talked to me. They made sure I was comfortable. And to this day, I cannot explain why this happened to me. Why did they show me what they showed me? And I also cannot explain why I haven't seen them again. Like, this used to be a hard topic for me because, you know, of my religion, I'm a Catholic, but that doesn't mean I do not believe aliens do not exist, right? I've seen them, right? And even the Vatican, even the Vatican Church, Catholic Church, they have these huge telescopes. Even they say we should be aware that there might be something out there. We cannot, they like to say we cannot limit God's creativity, right? I think the same way they do. I think there has to be something else out there. And I do not know why they chose me. I do not know why they showed me what they showed me. And something I didn't tell you before I started telling my story, and something I feel I have to tell, is that yesterday at night, while I was, you know, thinking, oh, it's going to be soon that I'll have to tell my testimony, tell my story, at night, I did hear an owl again. So I don't know, you know, some people like owls, some people don't. And for me, owls, they represent this experience I had. And it kind of freaked me out, you know, to hear an owl again yesterday. If they try to contact me again, if they try to see me again or to speak to me again, I would gladly do so. And right now I do have questions to ask. Right now I'm not a kid anymore who will just not think about what happened. Now I'm grown and I do have questions for them. Like, why did they choose me? Why do they select certain people? Why don't they just reveal themselves? Like, those are my questions. And that's my experience. You know, I know it sounds wild, but it's true, right? I have no other words to say than it is what happened to me. And my message to people who have had similar experiences and haven't told their stories is to do so. We need to stop fearing being ridiculized. We need to stop fearing what the other people will think. Because if we do not tell the stories, people will not take them seriously. And the more open we are to this, the more open we are to tell our stories, the more people will come out and talk about theirs. The UFO phenomena has been around for decades now, almost a century. In 20 years, it'll be a century since Roswell. And UFO experiences have happened way before Roswell. So we need to start talking more about it. We can make a change. We can keep it a secret, or we can decide to make the change and to speak about it, to seek answers, and to help others like us that have had this experience, to make them know that they're not alone and that we believe them. It happened to us. It can happen to you. So that's basically my story, man. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to speak about this. I just want to say I'm very grateful for spaces like this, not only for me, but for other people too, mate. I appreciate your job. And just once again, thank you for everything, man. After talking about this, I just feel like something came off my shoulders, right? Like this huge weight was just lifted off me, because I've just spoken about this with a handful of people. And now being able to speak about this in a podcast, in a place where lots of people will listen to it, it just feels good, man. So that's my story. And thank you very much for letting me talk about it.
Good job, Andres.
Ooh, I'm shaking.
No need to shake. You know, when it comes to Central America, South America, people are a lot more open. The government, the military, a lot more open about sharing these experiences. But we do always need more witnesses, more people that have had these encounters. So if to our listeners, if you're listening in Guatemala, get in contact. I want to hear your experiences.
Yeah, please get in contact. Tell your story. Cuenten su historia. Si me escuchan de Latinoamérica, if you're listening to me from Latin America, tell your stories. Cuenten su historia. You don't lose anything talking about it.
You've got everything to gain, because, you know, you're telling people, and like you said, you know, it's lifting the weight off your shoulders.
That's right.
So your very first encounter, you were 4 years old.
4 or 5, that's correct.
And that's the first time they visited you. And then you were 7 years old when they showed you this war.
Yeah, and something I did not say is that I died. Like, they showed me dying on that war. So that's why I want to see them again and see cancers. Like, why will they show me that?
And when they showed you this war, was it on like a screen, like a television screen, or were these images in your head?
You know, I'd like to think it was a screen, but I'm not sure anymore. Like, you know, when I was 7, I thought about it as a screen, right? Because they sat me down in a place and they showed me something. I used to think it was a screen, but I have a feeling something tells me it was like a screen. But I'm not quite sure anymore. They might have shown it to me telepathically.
And when they communicated with you telepathically, were they using Spanish or were they using images?
They were using Spanish. Like, that's something I do remember clearly, Nate. And I have no idea how those beings that looked so different to me were able to speak Spanish. What I actually But right now, what I think is that they were not like speaking Spanish. I think I just understood it as Spanish, right? I think the message they want to give, they give it in whatever language they speak, and we receive it how we're able to understand it. So they might be speaking their own language. And let's say you and I were together and they're speaking to us at the same time. What I think will happen is that I will understand it in Spanish and you will understand it in English. That's what I think is happening.
Yeah, I mean, you'd certainly think that their language and their forms of communication is going to be far more advanced, you know, a little bit more than ours.
Yeah, true.
And was it always the same type of beings that you would have encounters with?
Yep, they were grays. You know, the big head, the big eyes, always the same type of being.
Was it the same ones or was it different ones? Did you get any idea of familiarity with them?
I have a feeling that at least one was actually the same, like just at least one of them. Because the first time I remember I was surrounded by four, but the second time I remember I was with three. And at least one of them was the same one.
Chances are if made visits to you on multiple times, there is a good chance that it would have been with either at least one of them that would have been the same.
Yep, that makes sense.
And how does it make you feel? Were you ever scared of them?
The first time I was scared, but as I said, they were quick to calm me down. They said, do not be afraid, and I just understood I wasn't supposed to be afraid.
And when this was first happened, did you tell anyone?
No, I actually didn't. It took me lots of years to be able to tell it. I think the first time I did was when I was 17. That's like the first time I did talk about it with someone else. And it happened when I was 4 or 5 and 6 or 7. And it wasn't until I was 17 that I was able to speak on it.
And, you know, this isn't something you can just always tell family or tell friends. Sometimes it can be difficult.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're right. You never know, right? It's something hard because if your family, if your friends do not believe in this kind of stuff, and you try to open up about your experience and, you know, not only tell them what happened, open your heart about how it made you feel. If they do not believe in these things, they'll just make a fool out of you. So it was hard. Now I understand that, you know, it doesn't matter anymore. It happened. Whatever they say doesn't matter to me because I know what happened to me. And I know what has happened to lots of other people is true, right? So they can keep saying whatever they want. This is my story, man. This is my truth. Even though it's hard, it's something that we need to do.
And this has left you with more questions and answers.
Yep, lots of questions, mate. Lots of questions like, why a war? Why did they show me dying? The most specific question is, why me? Because they told me I was important. Why am I important? I'd like to know.
So really, you'd like another visit from them, give you some answers?
I'd like to speak to them again, correct? I'd like an answer. Because, you know, lots of people, they have this experience when they're older. But I was just so young, you know?
I mean, a lot of my guests I have on, sometimes they can be in their 70s, nearly 80 they can be. And a lot of their encounters all started from when they were 3 years, 4 years old, 5 years old. So a lot of the people I have on here that are lifelong experiencers have experienced these things for decades and decades.
Well, I haven't seen them in almost 15 years, so hopefully I'll see them again.
Well, you know, talking from experience, sometimes they can vanish for 10, 15, 20 years and then they'll pay a visit and then they'll be gone again. So it does happen.
You're right.
Wonderful.
Thank you, mate. Thank you.
No problem. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
You're very much welcome. I appreciate you taking me in.
Take care of yourself, all right? And I'll talk soon to you.
Bye, mate.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of high strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. Hello, Martin, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. My name is Martin, and I live in Beaverton, Oregon, a suburb of Portland.
Portland, lovely. Now, Martin, you have some encounters to share with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Yes. I guess it starts back when I was, 10 years old. I had an interest in metaphysics, at a young age. I remember reading Raymond Moody's book, Life After Life. I was interested in near-death experiences, at the age of 10. And then I remember around the age of 17 or 18, I read the book Light Years about UFOs, but really didn't have any encounters or any experiences until 1998. And I was driving down the interstate with my wife at the time. And it was around 10 o'clock at night, and not a ton of cars on the highway. And I saw, I guess, what you would kind of call, or what would look like a shooting star. But it wasn't the typical shooting star. It was following the line of the interstate and sort of shot above the car. And I thought that was kind of odd. I didn't know if it was like a flash on the windshield from another car or something. So I didn't say anything. And then my wife at the time said, did you see that? And I said, yeah. I said, that was weird. And she said, yeah, that was weird. And then, that was it. Just an interesting light. Kind of fast forward and then to 2004 is when things really started happening. I was single at the time and I bought a condo. And it was new construction. But what was interesting was I always felt like there was a ghost in the condo, and not a ghost like some of the other stories you hear on your show. But I always felt like there was a presence there. It didn't bother me, but I always felt a presence. And so one night I was watching a movie and I was looking out the window, and the condo is up on a hill. And it has a great view, but the planes that land in the airport, fly kind of above the condo. And so I was used to seeing lights out the window. But that night, it felt like I kept seeing sort of flickering lights out of the corner of my eye. And then I would look and, nothing would be there. So I was, kind of freaking myself out. But anyway, I went to bed that night. And I woke up and there were two beings standing at the end of my bed. These beings are best described as translucent, maybe 4 or 5 feet tall, something like that. And one of the beings, the being which would be on my left, was pointing at something up in the sky and wanted me to, it was trying to show me something as arm was up, perhaps at like a 45 degree angle. And at first I felt, a lot of fear. It's like, oh my God, there's two beings at the end of my bed. And then I was able to kind of self-talk and calm myself down. I just said, relax, relax. And, I told myself, just send these beings love, send them love and welcome them. And then the next thing I knew when I did that, I found myself lying on the side of my bed. My upper body was on the bed. My lower body was off the bed. So my knees were on the ground. And they had inserted what I can describe as like a rod into my lumbar spine. And it didn't hurt, but I felt it. And I reached back with my right hand and I grabbed it and I felt it. And then as soon as I felt it, the next thing I knew, I was lying on the other side of my bed. My bed was up against the wall, and I sort of, woke up in that sense, and I, you know, had sleep paralysis. I couldn't move. And so that's kind of what made me think, wow, I think that was a real experience. It wasn't just a dream. And it took me a few minutes before I could move again. And I was a little bit scared again at that point, but I was able to get up. And then I went into the bathroom and I looked at my back in the mirror, and there was nothing there. And I'm like, well, that was absolutely strange. And then I can't remember exactly whether it's a few months or a year later. I remember waking up. I was still living in that same condo, and I was getting ready for work. And I was cleaning my face, and I noticed there was a black speck in my eye. It was like I had a piece of dirt in there, but it looked more like a chip of some sort. And so I'm, you know, getting closer to the mirror and looking at my eyeball, and I'm like, what in the heck is that? So I took a tissue and I was trying to get it out, but it was not on the surface of my eye. It was like almost, implanted. And I was like, wow, that's really strange. It kind of freaking me out. And then it was there for, I don't know, like a week or so. And then I was just like, wow, whatever put this thing in my eye, please take it out. And it felt like, as I recall, a few days later, and then it was gone. So that was a strange experience. And then, later that same year, I went for a hike on my lunch hour. So I would purposely schedule like a 2-hour lunch because I have a great hike about 20 minutes from my office. So if I could get a 2-hour break, I could go for a nice hike, which would take like, 45 minutes or so. And it was about 20 minutes out to get to the trail. And I was about, I'm going to say, a third of the way into this hike. And it's basically a service road under some power lines. And you walk out, like I said, about 20 minutes, and you get to a viewpoint. It's spectacular. You look over the river and you can see four mountains. It's gorgeous. So that's always sort of the destination. So I was about a third of the way into the hike, and I came around this corner, and I stopped because I saw what I would describe as like a 4-foot-tall bird. And it was just unbelievable. My brain in the moment was trying to piece it all together because it made no sense in the context of where I was. And so I stopped, and I, definitely felt fear. And then this bird sort of turned and then walked back into the bushes. And I'm thinking to myself, that's absolutely bizarre. But I didn't want to stop the hike, so I walked past where the bird was standing. It was probably, I'm going to say, 50 feet away from me. And so I walked past it, and there was nothing there. It had gone into the bushes. I did the full hike, went out to the viewpoint, enjoyed it, went back to work. And I went back to work, and I told there was two colleagues I was working with at the time. I just said, you're never going to believe this. I just saw a 4-foot-tall bird on my hike, and they looked at me like I was insane. And so after that, I ended up finding a book at a metaphysical store by Dolores Cannon called Convoluted Universe. And I just started flipping through it and reading these stories about people having regressions. And I learned that oftentimes birds are used as screen memories for experiences. And so I'm like, wow, that sounds interesting. And so I decided that I would have a regression and figure out, if there was something more to that story. And so I just went online and literally found a regression therapist and had a session. And of course, it turns out, like you hear other people talk about, it actually wasn't, a 4-foot bird. It was actually an ET being, and the being was outside. There was a craft also sitting there to the right, so that on this trail the being would have been on the left side and the craft was sitting on the right side, and he was waving his hand, come with me. And he was wearing some sort of boots, sort of light boots and a, you know, a suit. And the interesting thing was I wasn't scared at all. I got this sense of just deep connection and friendship, like I knew this being, but like I hadn't seen them in a long time. And so I went with the being and I said, where are we going? And he said, oh, we're going to the Galactic Council. And I'm like, okay. And he said, you're going to need to put this suit on because your physical body can't do the travel. And I'm like, okay. He's like, we're going to leave your body at the trail, or you're going to take this other body, your consciousness, in a different body, and then we're going to go to the council. And I'm like, okay, which was very bizarre when I was listening back to the regression. I was just like, wow. So I took my consciousness into this other body, which was essentially an ET body. I looked, I only had three fingers and a thumb, and you know, my head was slightly larger, and the, you know, my skin was like a tinted gray or greenish. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And then I sat down, and a funny thing was I had to use a seat belt. And I'm like, you know, why would I need a seat belt? And this being said, well, sometimes the, you know, the transition can be a little, you know, hard. And so I'm like, okay. So I sat on this seatbelt. And then the next thing I knew, we were sort of approaching, I guess, what would be described as like a starport. And there was this window. And I looked in, and there was a table, and there were beings sitting around this table. And they were waiting for me. And I had a document to give them. And I gave them this document, and we left. And I have no idea who these beings were, other than this other being said it was the Galactic Council. And I have no idea what was in the document or what it looked like. I just know that I gave them something. And I got back to the trail, and I got very, very emotional because I didn't want to leave this being. I just felt this strong, deep, deep friendship and connection. And you know, he or she or whatever it was being had to leave. And so, and just as a side note, you know, the whole time we were communicating, you know, not through words, but through, you know, thoughts. And so that got me interested in regressions. And so I wanted to explore more about these other experiences that I had. So ultimately, I ended up getting trained by Dolores Cannon as a regression therapist and went through a couple levels of training with her. But we'll come back to that in a little bit. And so I want to move on to the next story. So nothing really happened after that until about 2010. I was lying on my couch reading a book called We the Arcturians. And I was pondering, you know, what was being said in this book. And so I set the book down for a minute, and I was gazing out the window. Behind our house, we have a small yard, and then there's a green space, and then there's a forest, small forest, but it has, you know, like 100-foot trees. And our neighbor behind us with the forest had cut some of the trees down and put an orchard in. So there was a space of probably 100 feet or so between these big trees. And it's just, I'm lying on my back, and I'm just looking at the blue sky between these trees. And I saw this white, I guess it would be described as a white orb, and it was big, just appeared and then broke off into like 6 or 7 different orbs or balls. And then they shot off. It's kind of like how you would describe a firework, how it explodes and then breaks up into different pieces. And it happened very, very quickly. It was just only a couple seconds. And I was like, wow, it really kind of startled me. And I hopped up, and my wife, I think, was working out in the yard, and I went out there. I'm like, oh my gosh, honey, I just saw this, you know, white ball in the backyard and it broke off. And she's like, oh, that's interesting. And then that was about it. So didn't seem to care too much. And then again, it went tough. So probably another 9 years went by, nothing major, you know, just normal life, you know, work and kids. And I was went on a mountain biking trip with my friend in 2019. And we had stayed the night in a hotel out in another part of Oregon, more toward the central part of the state. And we had to, we didn't have a lot of time to ride that day. So we had to get up early. And we were on the road and it was a crystal clear blue sky day, just a perfect day. It was, and I looked at the clock. And I remember seeing 7:12 a.m. in the morning. And where we were driving was also kind of another flight path for airplanes to come into the Portland airport. So we were probably about an hour and a half outside of Portland, east of the airport. And I saw this reflection in the sky. And then I was just thinking, oh, there's, you know, an airplane going to the airport. And then it started to get closer. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. That doesn't look like an airplane. It looked more like a sphere. And my friend that I was with, I said, hey, you know, take a look at that. I'm like, what is that? It's just kind of, it's moving, but it's more like floating or gliding. And it's, it was hard to see kind of which direction or how fast it was moving because the road was really winding. And so I kept telling him, like, oh my gosh, what is that? I'm like, pull over, stop the car. I want to take a picture of this. And he said, no, we don't have a lot of time. And I'm like, no, we've got it. I want to video this. What is that? I have no idea what that is. And he's like, no, I'm not stopping. This is crazy. And I would say, you know, as it got closer, it was probably 500 or 600 feet up, say about the size of a Volkswagen. And it looked, you know, fairly like metallic. And so I did end up getting a picture of it. Unfortunately, my friend wouldn't stop. He's, you know, a scientist by nature. He has a PhD in physics, and he also has a master's degree in mechanical engineering, you know, and so of course he's very, very skeptical of all things. And so I'm like, what is that? What do you think that is? And he said, well, it's not a plane. It's definitely not a helicopter. And he's like, it doesn't look like a weather balloon. He's like, I don't know what that is. He's like, but I'm not stopping. And I'm like, okay. So, and he's, you know, he's of the mindset of, he believes in, you know, life in the universe, you know, beyond us, but he doesn't, you know, believe we're being visited. So he was not inclined to stop at all, which was really too bad because I could have got a great photo, but I did get a photo of it. And, I can upload that, to your site if you want me to. And, it's pretty interesting. When I look at the photo, it doesn't really look like a sphere at all. It looks more like a, you know, like an ET, like a typical ET sort of craft with a, you know, like a aura around it. It's pretty cool. So we got home and I filed a report with MUFON, and I uploaded the photo, told the story. And I didn't hear anything from MUFON for months. It was probably 3 months, maybe 4 months later. I got a call and he asked me to tell him the story. And I told him, and I didn't realize that you can take a, there's like a timestamp on the pictures, like on the iPhone. So he knew the exact coordinates, the day, the time, everything from the photo that I sent. And so he went and looked at the records. Was there airplanes? Was there weather balloons? What was the weather that day? And basically, there was none of that. And so he just said, it's, you know, unidentified. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And so he was really kind of hounding me about having my friend, you know, tell the same story. And I'm like, there's no way. He's not going to, he's too busy. He wouldn't even stop the car, let alone tell the story. But the guy from MUFON thought it'd be great to have another person just to tell them what I saw. So that was the last encounter that I had going back to becoming a regression therapist, what I did was once I took the training, I just posted, I had my name on the Dolores Cannon website as a practitioner, and people just started calling and wanting regressions. And so I did that for a few years. It was really tough because it takes a long time. It's like a 3-hour or so process. And I had, you know, I'm a business owner. I'm working full time and I have kids, and I wasn't able to carve out a lot of time. But I did end up working with probably 20 individuals. And that was a real experience. I heard some pretty incredible stories of people and their experiences with UFOs and past lives and things like that. And then ultimately, I just got too busy with our business and with the kids, and I had to quit doing that. So one of the interesting things that I did, I ended up meeting another practitioner in town, and we started trading sessions. So we would meet like every other week, and we would do regressions on each other, and then we would catalog our experiences. And so that was a pretty incredible undertaking. And so I've basically documented all that. And then at some point I would like to, you know, perhaps publish it as a book or something like that. It's pretty, pretty interesting stories in there. Nick, that's about all I got for you.
That's wonderful, Martin. Okay, Martin, let's go back to you have the condo.
Yes.
And you wake up in bed, and there's two beings in front of you.
Yes.
Can you describe to us a little bit of detail about what you remember of how these beings look like?
I would almost have to say ghostly, you know, fluid, sort of flowing. It's, you know, it's, they weren't like your typical pictures that you see. In fact, I've never seen a picture of what these beings looked like. They, like I said, you know, 4, perhaps maybe 5 feet tall. There were two of them. You know, the one was pointing, you know, which I thought was really, really interesting. I ended up doing a regression with that experience, and what they were pointing at, what I got from the regression was they were pointing at the Pleiades, saying, you know, this is where you're from. And when they inserted the rod into my spine, it was to shift the frequency of my body. And the reason why they needed to shift the frequency of my body, because it needed the, I guess, sort of upgrade for the next experience that I had when I was on the trail and I saw the bird, which was actually when I, you know, went aboard the craft and delivered the document. So those two were tied together ultimately, which I had no conscious recollection of that until I did the regression.
And you said they put the rod into the lumbar spine?
They put the rod into the lumbar spine, and it wasn't painful, but I could feel it. And after they did that, I reached around and actually grabbed it with my hand. And I'm like, and I felt it. It was kind of like a rounded off peg, you know, maybe a few inches long. And I just grabbed the end of it. And then once I grabbed it, you know, I was immediately, you know, shifted to that other experience where I, you know, was in sleep paralysis.
But before that particular experience, did you have any problems with your back at all?
I did. Yeah. That's funny that you mentioned that. So I'm actually an exercise therapist, and I had chronic hip and back pain for a decade. I was a professional bike rider, and I had crashed and injured my right hip. And so I'd been living with chronic pain, at that point, over 10 years. But I was healing at that point, though. I'd found a method, and ultimately I became a therapist with that method. And that's my current business now. So I've been able to heal my body of that pain. But yeah, I had a long-standing injury that was very debilitating at times. And I was, you know, a very fit, lean, you know, young man. I just hurt. So Yeah, great question.
Obviously, you'll know more about this area, but that area of the spine, isn't that at the center of the spine?
Yeah, it's the neck is the cervical, the mid back is the thoracic, and the lumbar is the low back. And then below that is like the sacral joint.
Since that experience, you didn't have any pains?
No pains. But oddly enough, a few months ago, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, I woke up and again, I felt like it was nothing like that first experience that I had, but I felt like something was being inserted into that same area. And it was brief. It was quick. And I immediately woke up and I was like, ah, it's like you're working on my lumbar spine again. And then I just went back to sleep.
Okay. I had a guest on a while ago and she had a very similar experience where she was on a ship and she had something inserted into her spine and she reached around and felt an object in the back, the same.
Interesting. You know, I never get the sense of, malevolence. You know, to me, I view these things as, you know, sort of checkups. Right? Like it's kind of like taking our animal to the veterinarian, right? They're going to be scared. They're going to be fearful. But I feel like ultimately these beings are watching over us, helping us to sort of genetically, you know, fine tune our species ultimately. So from my perspective, you know, there's these encounters are ultimately, you know, for the benefit of all of us. That's my, like you said earlier, opinions. That's just my opinion, you know, but it's, you know, it's like taking your, you know, dog to the vet. There's going to be a lot of fear around it. But ultimately, I think that, you know, at some level or a soul level or spiritual level that we agree to be participants in, you know, the betterment of our species.
Sure. Yeah. No, I agree with that. Prior to 2004, when you had the regression, did you go beyond to an earlier time, maybe in your childhood?
Yeah. So that's another great question. So it's kind of a part that I skipped over. My mom always tells the story of how I used to play with these, imaginary friends. And I would call them Joe and the boys. And under regression, under hypnosis, when I was doing the regression, you know, I learned that Joe and the boys were actually, you know, ET beings that I was interacting with. And when I was reading that book, when I was around 10 years old, that Life After Life, we, on the weekends, we would go to my mom's friend's farmhouse. And I wasn't too interested in being on the farm or the horses or anything. So I'd go into this back room and read. And I remember reading that book there. And during one of my regressions, I was in that room reading and I was having conversations with Joe and the boys over these beings. So yes, I did go back. And the other experience that I had when I was a little bit older, like when I was 12, I was playing baseball and I was up to bat and I looked up and I saw a ship and I have no conscious memory of this. This was all under hypnosis that I remembered that. I looked up and I saw a ship and I remember that the sense I got is they were my colleagues and they were laughing at me and they were laughing at me because I had chosen that incarnation and I wasn't, you know, too fond of, you know, playing baseball at the time. So I didn't really want to be playing baseball. I was a professional bike rider and that was my real passion. And so, but that was the sense I got. I saw, yeah, the ship and they were just kind of, you know, watching over me and they were kind of cracking up. It was a really interesting experience.
Because it's not uncommon, but it's rare for someone that has these types of experiences and not have anything in their in their past? Because you would have been in your 30s, 2004. Is that right?
Yeah, 34.
Yeah, okay. So, but usually there is stuff which goes, from the past. It's not a new thing.
That's right. Yeah, but the experiences really weren't conscious until, I was in my 30s. So interesting.
Yeah, and a lot of time they never are.
Yeah, that's right. That's why at some point I'm interested in, getting this material out. I think there's a lot of gems in what I learned doing these regressions. So at some point I need to quit being lazy and get to work on the material.
I'm going to say, yeah, if you've got the material, get it down.
Yeah.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Let's go back to when you're on the hiking trail.
Yes.
What area was that again?
That was in Portland, and it's a place called Forest Park. And so it's about 20 minutes from my office. And so I can schedule, I don't do this much anymore, but what I would do is I would schedule like a 2-hour lunch. I'd take a break, and it'd take me 20 minutes to get out there. And then it would take me about 20 or 25 minutes to hike this trail out to the viewpoint. And then, take obviously 20 or 25 minutes to get back. And then I could go back to work and eat. So I could have just a great break from work. And it was during my lunch hour, broad daylight, that I had that experience where I saw the 4-foot bird.
And this is a trail that you'd done many times.
Many times. Yeah.
And you're comfortable being on that trail.
Very comfortable, yeah. And under regression, I learned that that wasn't the only experience that I had on that trail. I had another experience where I was hiking, and I saw two eagles. There's bald eagles up there, and they were circling overhead. And I was like, oh, now this I remember consciously. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. I don't see eagles out here a lot. And then I just did my hike, didn't think anything of it. And then I learned under hypnosis that I had gone on another ride in a ship. And I went to a Galactic Council meeting. And that was really interesting. It was almost like a forum where there were, 100 beings there. And the topic of this meeting was the transformation of Earth and other galactic politics. That's what I remember. And I was one of the speakers, but I couldn't get any more information other than that. It wasn't that. Now, the interesting thing about this was it wasn't me as in this incarnation. It was another aspect of myself, if that makes sense, that was speaking at this conference. I know that sounds out there, but that's the only way I can explain it. It was another aspect or incarnation of the soul.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's all right. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like under regression, I was able to sort of, tap into another aspect of self, that it's like a concurrent timeline incarnation, so to speak.
And did you ever keep the regression tapes?
I did. Yeah, I have them all. Yeah, everything is recorded, and I have all the recordings of the clients that I worked with too. So at some point, I'm going to have to track those people down and ask them permission to use their story, because I forgot to do that in the moment.
Oh, yeah, you got to ask.
And, I had another experience on that trail that I totally forgot about, and then my son reminded me of when I told him that I was going to do this podcast. And he said, oh, are you going to tell him about the rabbit? And I'm like, the rabbit? I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about the rabbit. So this would have been in 2018. I was on that trail hiking in the exact spot that I saw the bird there was a rabbit on the trail, and it was probably 15 or 20 feet in front of me, and it charged me. It ran straight at me, and I had to jump out of the way because it didn't turn. I had no idea what this rabbit was doing. It was very, very strange, because usually rabbits are very skittish, right? As soon as they see you, they hop away. But this rabbit actually charged me. I had to jump out of the way, and it almost hit my leg, and it ran past me and then ran into the bushes. And so I guess at some point I would want to do a regression on that experience to see if there was any more to that, because it was very unusual.
That is very unusual. That day, you weren't wearing, I know what you cyclists are like, you weren't wearing like a green lycra or like a carrot color. What about your son? Has your son had any experiences?
You know, a couple of times he's looked out the window in the car and he's, you know, dad, look, did you see that? And then I look and, you know, I didn't see anything. So, you know, they're definitely, I think, you know, aware of it, and they're very, I think, open-minded. But I can't say that he's had, to my knowledge, any, you know, direct experiences.
It's just funny that he said, are you going to tell him about the white rabbit?
Yeah, that is interesting. I had completely forgotten about that. And usually when things like that happen, I'll write it down. And I must have forgotten to write it down. An interesting piece to that was during one of my regressions, my son, he was actually telling me that we had to incarnate to come to Earth to help it. And it was interesting, in the regression, he was sort of the, what I would describe as, you know, the elder, right? Or the more advanced one. And I was more of like the child. And he was saying, no, we have to go. And I'm like, I don't want to go. And he's like, no, we have to go. They need us. And again, this is where it gets strange. It was like me telling my father or an elder, like, you know, I didn't want to say no. And I'm like, okay, you know, if you're going to go, then okay, I'll go. Which was interesting, right? Because then, you know, I incarnate first. So there's, you know, there's that connection between, you know, he and I. And I remind him of that. Anytime he gets upset, I'm just like, hey, I'm like, you made me come here, so.
You're the boss.
You're the boss. Like, you're the one that wanted to come here. So he thinks that's pretty funny.
You want to start asking for some pocket money.
I know.
There is that belief in reincarnation that when you pass and you reincarnate into your new life, that you are still surrounded by your loved ones that you were previously with. And they reckon that you do juggle around a bit.
Absolutely. You know, and I agree 100% that you travel, you know, essentially in like groups. And so it's, you know, it's where it gets interesting. And one of the things I learned doing these regressions is you start to lose, you know, your sense of time, and you realize things are more simultaneous, right? And that's where it gets really interesting, is, you know, all these incarnations existing, you know, in the moment of now. It's just really fascinating.
It is. And it's nice to know that, you know, when any of us pass, that in the next life, we're going to be grouped together again.
That's right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And my daughter, you know, she's 5 years younger than my son, and we weren't planning on having another child. And so she is just like the miracle. And so we always joke with her, like, you know, you really, really wanted to be here, right? Like, we don't know how that even happened. Like, it was, you know, almost a divine conception, right? And, I mean, and she's very, very sweet. She loves nature. She's, you know, has an amazing imagination. You know, I always tease her and say she's, you know, never been here before, right? She's from an energy world. So she's pretty cool. So I remember, have you ever seen like the monitors that you put in your kids' rooms when they're little, like the video monitors?
I sure do, yeah.
Yeah, I remember with her, we didn't have any of those for my son, but with her, you know, we would look at her, you know, we'd look at the monitor at night, see if she's sleeping, and we would always see things flying around in her room. And it, you know, you see like these little specks of light, you know, and it wasn't dust because, you know, they would make like these 90 degree turns. I mean, it was really cool. We should have videoed it, you know, so she clearly has, you know, spirits around her.
Spirits around her, keeping an eye on her.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it happens quite a lot on those monitors, mind, with young children.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Hearing voices and all kinds of strange things.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You don't dare tell them that, though, right? Because then it kind of freaks them out. But
kids end up having whole conversations with, well, thin air, really.
Yeah. And, you know, you just reminded me of something with my son, Nick. And that was when he was, I'm going to say, 3 or 4 years old, he would have these fits and he would start crying and he would say, I just want to go home. I just want to go home, Dad. It's getting me choked up just telling you the story. And I would say, you know, Austin, I'm like, we are home. This is our house. And he'd say, no. He's like, I want to go home. It's like, I don't like it here. And I would just like, just gets my heart. Yeah. So he was pretty tuned in that sense at that age.
Yeah. They both sound both tuned in.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's interesting.
They're 13 and 8 now. So they're, you know, getting into other things, you know, as they get older, but it'll be fun to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. That's wonderful, Martin. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Dolores, she passed away several years ago, didn't she?
She did. I was so fortunate to be able to do a couple workshops with her. She was amazing. Her books are absolutely incredible. I don't know if you've read any of them. I think she's written like 17 or 18 books.
Yeah, she sure has. Yeah, shame that was. She's still very highly spoken about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, her work was incredible. I mean, she was really sort of like, you know, the grandmother of, you know, regression therapy.
I'm pretty sure, I mean, I've got a lot of books here. I'm pretty sure I still have one of those here. Martin, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Yes, again, and thank you, Nick, for taking the time, and keep up good work.
Thank you. Keep in contact, all right, Martin, anytime.
All right, you be well.
Yeah, take care, Martin.
Bye.
That is all for today. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Andres and Martin for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back this Sunday. Till then, stay safe. And keep watching the skies. Goodbye.